accession number 9317, reel 5.
Mr. Tom Williamson, Reel 5. I wonder if you could tell me about the voyage out to East Africa. Do you know the approximate dates of that voyage?
I should say it was late August 1918.
What route did you take?
We went from Southampton to land in France, and from when we landed in France, we was taken across to Italy, Italy, and
by train was that?
By train, right from North Italy down to South Italy, and there we stayed a little while. It was 120 degrees and very hot, I remember. And they gave us injections and cocaine and quinine for a guard against malaria until the time that we had to board a ship to take us on to Alexandria, I think it was. We sailed into the ship, and that's where we saw casualties coming in from ships that had been torpedoed. Men were coming in wounded. We were torpedoed from German submarines, and we didn't know we would encounter the same, which we did. 24 hours out, a torpedo boat followed us, and they fired this one torpedo, and that went past the front of the ship. The second one hit us mid-on. We all took our life belts, ready to jump, but it didn't explode. That's right. It jolly well didn't explode. It hit the centre of the ship. That was a miracle. So we got back, board on ship again, and we sailed into Alexandria.
I just ask a couple of questions about that. When did you first know that there was a German submarine firing torpedoes at you? Was there an alarm?
That was sudden. I knew when I was down in the bottom deck.
How did you know? What was there a signal?
There'd be a signal to take the lifeboats.
So what? You
got to put on your lifebelts, get on top deck. You'd be told some method or other. You knew there was something on. We all rushed up from the bottom as quick as we could. I hadn't even got my tunic on. The money was in my tunic pocket. I went down back again and got my tunic.
This is before?
Before they fired the second torpedo. I was thinking about that. And I remember I came up top and they came all clear. We was ready to lower the boots. But we saw the submarine being chased by our warships, and of course we all shouted hallelujah.
Was it underwater, the submarine, or had it surfaced?
That had surfaced. That eventually surfaced when that was being escorted to a safe area. The British cruisers had captured the submarines. They'd got it under control. That was not my business, but
so the submarine
we knew
was
saved.
This submarine was forced to surface and then
captured. Yes, yes, yes.
Did you see that happening?
I have a vivid idea. I know almost certain we saw them go by. I reflect seeing it and how we all sang praises.
Did you actually launch the lifeboat, or not you, but did they actually launch the lifeboats on the boat?
No.
Do you know the name of the boat that you were travelling in?
That began with the M. I forget the name.
No problem. So where did you, after this incident, where did you land?
I think it was Alexandra. That would be Alexandra. And the whole 150 sailors were safely landed there and we was taken to Port Said.
Now you've got you to Africa. Were you fully recovered
by
this time?
I went to Africa, yeah, under Port Said.
Arm. No, yeah, sorry. Were you fully recovered?
I was a fit man again. I mean, the muscle was the trouble. But I fully recovered, yes, fit for anything.
So you were at Port Said. What happened at Port Said?
We were stationed in a big bell tent, the whole 150 of us, just for a period until they wanted to evacuate us to take the boat round the east coast of Africa up to Mombasa, Dar es Salaam, Mombasa, and land us in Kenya.
While you were in this large bell tent, you were all together. I presume the sergeants were from all different units of the British Army. How did you get on amongst each other?
It's a very crude idea. Then we're allowed to go out and buy drinks, and you'd get some return and noisy, and they want to fight. They want to fight among themselves. I thought that very disturbing. There's three of us Norfolk sergeants. We didn't like the idea of being mixed up with a crowd in a tent of 150 sergeants, all under the influence, or some under the influence of drink. And that's one thing that disturbed our morale a good bit while we was there in this tent.
What proportion were causing a problem with their
drinking? I wouldn't say it's too many. Two from the north seemed to be the north sergeants, from the north.
Northern Counties Regiment.
Yes. Yes, strictly the London boys, elsewhere, like ourselves, we was under discipline rules and we kept to them.
Was there any fighting amongst the sergeants?
I didn't know. There's nothing to do. It might be, there was nothing serious.
Did you have any trouble yourself with any drunks?
No.
What, were you allowed out for recreational purposes or training?
Oh yes, we was there quite a time and able to move round in Port Said. I remember particularly going into the desert in Port Said on my own, and I got out in the desert and met a camel, and this camel started to come to me and I was scared. I didn't know it's Saxon, so I ran for my dear life back to camp. Back to camp. I got over that one all right. And then, of course, we was allowed through the streets of Port Said. We was able to view different places.
What did you think of Port Said? Port Said?
We thought that was a nice capital. No, not a capital, but it was a nice town. And we quite enjoyed looking around while we was there. I went swimming there, and that's when I got into difficulties being brave again. I was not a first class swimmer.
Can you tell me about that?
We was able to bathe, and I swam out behind with another Cambridge swimmer, professional, I should think, and he swam to a distance quite beyond my capacity. And then I turned round and saw and looked at the beach, and the heads of the boys on the beach were like little. So I lost confidence. But this sergeant swimmer from Cambridge came alongside. He said, I'd been down once on the water, and he said, don't panic. He said, I'll swim back beside you, and we'd get back to the beach. He said, take it calmly, and I don't think I should ever got back. Not when you're in difficulties out there and lose your confidence. I went out too far, but he got me back.
What else would you do for recreation while you were there? The port side?
We'd probably score all the outlying districts where the real port said people were. We'd see them outside their houses and with the donkey, with a big case over the back they had full of water. They seemed to be begging type of people.
Did you do any training of any sort while you were there?
No, we didn't do any training. We was more or less left on our own to divulge in whatever activities we like until they was ready to move us again, I imagine.
Where did they move you to then?
Well, from there, I went round to board a ship. Alexander, I think it was, to take us on to and round East African coast. Up to Dar es Salaam, as I said.
Through the Suez Canal, then?
Yes. Through the bay again. And the Indian Ocean, that would be. That's the second time I'd been through. But that wasn't a bad journey. And, of course, we landed in East Africa, all right. And we found out we had a tent where two of us would dwell. Sleeping arrangements were arranged for us.
When did you actually join the battalion of the King's African Rifles you were assigned to? And which one was it?
I never actually met a full contingent of East African soldiers. See, that's now drawing towards November. And we hardly done any training for these East Africans. Our period of stay there was more or less mixing with them, the bush chaps that come in from the bush.
So what was the town you went to, or the village? Where was this camp where the two of you sleeping
in? That was in Kenya.
Do you know whereabouts?
Well, that's 8 miles from Nairobi.
Nairobi.
We was able to go out to Nairobi whenever we wished from there. We more or less had a free time there.
So the 150 sergeants were split up?
Split up with two in a tent.
And there were two of you in a tent. Where were the rest of them?
It's all on this campsite.
So all of you were together?
Yes.
All 150 on a campsite?
Site.
And two to a tent?
Yes.
So you were never actually assigned to one of the King's African Rifles?
Never.
So what were you doing when you were there?
I think we was killing time, waiting for orders.
Did you do any training at all of the Africans?
No, the sun was too hot to train during the day. Even if we had our pith helmets, we weren't allowed to train or go out in the sun during the early hours of the morning. So that's a different country to get used to. I used to go out on my own with a rifle into Africa, over deep ravines, and for my own enjoyment to fight, to shoot the game. I did that on my own bat. I wasn't allowed to, but I did it with my army rifle. And you would be prosecuted if you went into the reserve, and I went into the reserve. But I as I say, I only went about twice.
What did you shoot? Did you shoot anything?
I shot a rock rabbit. You wouldn't know that. That's a rock rabbit. There's plenty of game out there, but really I went out for a journey, I think. I remember I shot this rock rabbit and I skinned it and I brought the skin home and gave it to my sister. But that was all our experiences in East Africa. It was just killing time, and there didn't seem to be any advancement as regards training the boys. I would visit their tents and chat with them.
While you were on these journeys, I believe you mentioned once before that a lion once followed you.
That's right.
Could you tell me about that story?
Well, I went out, as usual, with my rifle, and I was out rather late. It come dark immediately, no warning. And I just got back to camp, just before darkness, and a lion had followed me back, and I just managed to get to an open tent, and I stood stark still. I heard the roar of this lion. That was very frightening. That followed me back to my tent, to this tent. But the natives, they all turned out with drums and lanterns and beating sticks and screams. They drove the lion back away. It looks simple to say this now, but if you're out there and hear a lion follow you back, and you hear the roar of the lion, that made me frightened anyway. Would it you?
It would, yes. While you were out, were you not afraid of that large game, like lions?
Well, we always had our rifles loaded for that purpose. That used to lie in our bell tent beside you. More for loaded for that reason, in case of anything. They say a lion would go past a black man to eat a white man. That's the instinct of a lion. They'd only eat when it was hungry. When they're fed, they don't bother about flesh or human flesh.
How did you get on with the Africans while you were out there?
Well, I seemed to be one better. I'd go and explore their tents. Very often, about 5 or 6 had one big cabanda, they called them, and they'd had their wooden beds on the floor. And I'd go peeping in their tents, and they would turn everything out in their little boxes and offer me tokens of different articles which they thought I was interested in. And I was quite friendly with them, even though they didn't know me. I was the only one who went to this tent and mixed with them. That's another thing I wanted to do, I suppose.
Well, you did. What was your? You didn't train them at all then, at any time.
Not really.
When you say not really, what did you do anything with them in the training line?
I can't ever remember us being called to do duty training. All always out there all that while. Decent while. See, remember we went out late in the year 18 and we was travelling and the time we was in East Africa wasn't too long till November. That didn't seem to be too long. We was able to go to the Nairobi, for instance, and have a good dinner in the Whiteley's Hotel and all right. With all the waiters serving you, we had a real good time there. So the African trip was a pleasure trip to me.
So all the 150 sergeants in their tents, with only two in, they weren't really doing anything?
I don't remember seeing a lot of them. I only remember one sergeant in my tent.
What were the others? Others were close by, though.
You must have been.
You didn't mess together or feed together?
No, we ate our food in our own tents.
How did you get your food?
Well, there used to be a tent there to provide refreshments. And the only means of food that I can remember that we bought more than we were supplied with.
Did you have an African servant?
Yes, a little Negro boy would come, and why he came, I don't know, two beds to look after, I suppose, and he's called a native boy. He came in and they did duties to you as they were an officer. You know, he was treated like an officer. And they
do. What would they do for you then?
Not so could do in a tent. I suppose they made the beds. There's a little canvas bed, but
would they clean your uniform? And
oh yes, they cleaned everything up for us and come and visit us.
Did you pay them?
We weren't supposed to, but one little native boy came in me. He said, "Will you let me have 1/6 for my poll tax?" I said, "You get out of here." And he scattered. I didn't see him anymore, but I saw the Africans ill-treated out there.
Who by?
Well, on this occasion, an African had stole sixpence, one of the bush Africans. And the officers in charge doled out the severe punishment of whipping. That means that they got another tribe with a kapuka hide, it's called. It's a long hide made of elephant's skin. And they'd get another tribe to whip this. He'd be stripped and laid on his dummy. And they'd give him 18 cuts on the back, each side. And they rub salt in. Would you believe that brought tears to my eyes? To see that done.
Did everybody have to watch it?
I don't know whether I had to watch it, but I did watch it. I didn't see the officers, sorry to say, the white officers.
Were there often whippings?
It's the only one I saw. And that was from there.
What state was the boy in after he'd had that?
He survived, I suppose you could say.
How did you get on with the officers? Did you have any officers?
Oh, we had three officers. Those very well-versed men who'd been out, I think, before in East Africa. They was quite up to their job in as much as they could handle us all.
They'd come out with you, had they?
They went out with us. They taught us out to teach us the Swahili and everything. They more or less took us over when we was decided that we should belong to the East African Rifles. And those officers were transferred to that for the purpose of looking after us.
Did you mix with them at all?
No, never. Very sore when we got out there.
Did you see any?
I don't remember seeing them at all.
Did you see any of the European civilian population while you were out there?
Blacks?
European civilian?
No.
British settlers or French or?
No. Blacks used to come into the camp. The ladies used to come with the baby in the breasts. And why they came, I don't know. But they look ill-clad and very dirty. The women, they'd visit the, like they would visit all soldiers' camps. I remember them coming in and
did any of the soldiers mix with African women?
Not that I know of, no, I wouldn't do that.
Was it very boring, the life in Africa, or?
No, I suppose you have to take everything as it comes.
I mean, you weren't training, so you said you were killing time.
We was more or less lying about, in a way, unless we wanted. As three of us Norfolk sergeants, we would go take a trip and walk to Nairobi, for instance. That's about 8 miles, and some of them would go to the Falls, Niagara Falls, isn't it?
Did you ever go there?
I did go there. I wish I had. Another two of my friends went. I didn't. I don't know why. Perhaps I was a loner and went on my trips out while they didn't do that.
What else would you do to keep yourself amused? Was there any sport?
No, I can't remember us doing anything, only what we made our own provisions for, yes, regards wearing our time away.
Did you have any duties at all to do? I mean, even local camp duties, if you weren't training?
No, never done any duties.
You didn't even have to organise a camp guard or anything like that?
No, sergeant who I was with in my tent is a Scotsman. He's a very nice fellow when he's sober, but when he came home in the evenings, he wanted to fight me. But in the daytime, he's a gem.
How did you cope with that?
I just told him to lay down. I could stand my ground. And we had the option of staying out in East Africa for a job.
Would this sergeant that you lived with, would he drink often? Every night, or was it an infrequent occurrence?
The tent where he was able to get liquor and all provisions they provided intoxicating drinks, and I'm afraid he used to like his drink very often.
You didn't
in the
drink?
Evening, no. Very often in the evening he'd come home and he'd had just a little, come to back to the tent, I don't know where he'd been, and he'd be a bit ferocious.
What about the other sergeants in the camp? Would there many of them drink?
No, the ones that I mixed with were my old county, Norfolk, and it's quite...
What would you do in the evenings then?
Well, that got dark at 6. We used to rest. There wasn't much you could do out there, really. Only make your own trips if ever you wanted to go anywhere. You'd done it on your own bat.
Did you have enough money? Was your pay adequate?
I seemed to have enough.
What sort of things would you buy?
We got a little more money by joining the African Regiment. That was shillings a day in the army, but we got 3 and 4, I think. 3 shillings and 4 pence. We was able to buy provisions, food particularly. That's our main wants, is food and drink. We never seemed to have a big supply of the food. I can't remember having good meals there, honestly.
What else would you spend your money on?
Not much. I ain't got much to spend.
Would you save it, what you had?
No. I'd send 10 shillings over to my mother.